Core Sound's pad loops help worship leaders instantly and easily fill their worship sound, create seamless transitions, kill dead space, and free themselves to focus on worship. Go to Core, C-O-R-E, coresoundpads.com to learn more, try free samples, and get going with pads today.
Everywhere the king is king, there's the kingdom.
If you wait until you feel like everything's right, you'll never go.
There's nothing that can possibly in this earth be more spectacular than what can happen when heaven invades this realm.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Creativity is how heaven comes to earth.
It's not just singing songs, but it is fighting with truth.
We're here to resource churches, not make great music.
If we want community, we got to build it.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. My name is Clint.
And I'm Haley.
And I'm Josh. In history today, I was just reading this, is the day that Constantine closed all the heathen temples when he became a good Catholic boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
and
a boss.
He changed the whole face of the planet, basically. I mean, Istanbul was Constantinople.
Ooh.
That reminds me of...
I don't think I've ever heard that song.
Oh, it was They Might Be Giants back
yeah,
in the 80s.
I think that maybe I'm a little too young
one
for that.
One hit wonders.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really good one hit wonder songs. We ought to explore.
What do you
I
say?
I do know a handful.
So
like one.
Let me look them up. So I've got, what, VH1's top 100 greatest one hit wonders.
Man, we're about to go down memory lane here.
There's a ton of them. And there's some really old ones and there's some not so old ones. One of them that is still in our generation, but at the very early stages of it. My Sharona by The Knack.
Yes. And my favorite version of this is the Weird Al version. My Bologna.
Oh.
Come on, folks. Check it out.
Oh my goodness.
I do recognize that one.
Yes, of course.
Everyone went through a Weird Al phase, didn't they?
I did Weird Al for a little while. In secret.
In secret. I was not in secret.
Well, I wasn't allowed to listen to secular music.
I was not
so.
A teenager yet either.
And the guy can reinvent himself 1,000 different times.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Every generation has experienced Weird Al Yankovic in one way or another.
Yeah, he was probably a marketing major and then he's like come up with this great idea to cover everybody's songs and change the lyrics.
Another one a little later on was Whip It by Devo. Do we remember this one?
I do remember that one because they wore little plastic red hats on their head.
I think they were some kind of potting
flower pots.
Flower pots or...
There's an idea.
What kind of people do that? That's just strange.
I don't know. The collapsible red hats.
I think you're right. Strange is the word.
Well, that was kind of the 80s music across the board. We had the weirdest music of all time.
Yeah, it's a big experiment. The decade of experimentation.
All the synthesizers and drum machines. And, oh, my goodness. What else? I'm looking at like the top 20. Play that funky music, white boy.
Yeah, I have never heard of that song.
What?
You heard it? Well, listen to this. It's kind of disco meets rock and roll.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some of these songs are, you know, they're one-hit wonders, but man, they ceded their place in history and pop culture.
Come on, all of these are like out of my era.
Earworms, your era.
Well, yeah. There were some more recent ones, like the 90s. There's one on here, No Rain by Blind Melon.
Yeah. Not recalling any of that.
The dude had great hair.
What? Okay, I listened to like Dallas Holm and Russ Taff and Twyla Paris growing up.
Oh, so did I.
Yeah. Okay, so what about like, or, you know, Don't Worry, Be Happy. That's what I remember.
Bobby McFerrin,
yeah.
The man of many talents.
Or I did the Achy Breaky Heart many times.
Oh my goodness.
He made an entire career off of that one hit wonder.
Sure with did. His mullet. It
oh
was,
my gosh.
It was a career that was based off of one song and a mullet.
Yep, pretty much, yeah. And look where it got him.
Yeah.
he really tried.
That's one. What's that?
Oh, according to VH1, the number one one-hit wonder of all time
is Los del Rio Macarena.
Yes, that I remember.
Hey, Macarena.
Hi. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, going down memory lane, it'd be fun to just look up one-hit wonders, top 100 one-hit wonders, and explore your childhood once again.
Yeah, so good.
It'd be fun. Today on the show, we're going to have somebody that is a child at heart, loves to have a lot of fun, someone who's been in worship forever, and still has life and passion and is vibrant. Kent Henry is on the program with us today. And next week, we're also going to visit with him about mobilizing for a global great awakening and the topic for today, the lifestyle of worship, when we come back.
Man, you guys are old.
Hey, Macarena. Identity Music is the music publishing arm of Next Gen Worship. We are a family of creatives who love the presence of God, who desire to see the kingdom advance through creativity and music. We are sound artists. Recorded sound has the power to convey emotion, tell stories, and bring the listener into an experience where time stops for a journey of the heart. We are currently completing our state-of-the-art custom audio recording studio, utilizing industry-standard tools at the core of our creative process. We are asking you to partner with us. We have currently connected with a donor that promises to match dollar for dollar all donations made to complete our studio. That means if you contribute $100, it's like giving $200. There are just a few loose ends to tie up before we can start shaping sounds that change history. Help us. Donate today and have it matched at nextgenworship.com.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Next week, we're talking about mobilizing for a global great awakening. This is something that we talk about often, but putting a spin on it, Kit Henry will be with us once again next week, as he is with us here in a little bit in the show. But today we're talking about the lifestyle of worship.
Mm-hmm. Love this topic, and we hear more about this now than ever before. Used to be, if you look back in history, you can see, you know, the church singing songs about God, and then they started singing songs to God. That kind of started around the Vineyard movement, you know, emphasizing the Father's heart and things like that. And so now we're hearing a lot more, even from circles that weren't typically into intimacy with God. They're inching closer and closer to that. And so now we hear from a lot of different streams in Christianity, people talking about living a lifestyle of worship. And that's going to mean so many things to so many different people. But to us, it is a surrender. Mm-hmm. It's a surrender of our life, that our capacity could contain the atmosphere of heaven and change the world around us. So it's not a lifestyle where we're trying to get and just keep it to ourselves, you know. Absolutely. This is us being offering ourselves as a river to the world.
Worship music, like you said, you know, kind of coming out of scripture songs during the Jesus movement and moving mm-hmm. into singing songs about God and then singing songs to God. And even now we're hearing this conversation almost of songs kind of coming from Holy Spirit, talking to the church, talking to his body, and this beautiful love story of intimacy going back and forth as you explore music in worship. But worship isn't just music, you know.
Right.
I think Jesus, you know, expressed that lifestyle of worship in the fact that he knew he was a son of God and believed it.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from a position of identity.
Yeah, that's right.
And once we are operating and believing that we are sons and daughters of God, no more orphans, but we are adopted as his sons and daughters, then we live a life that is pleasing to him, delighting in him, finding pleasure in him, having intimacy with him. There's conversation and there's intimacy.
Yeah.
And it's really putting on display your relationship with the Father.
Very good. Yeah.
I think it's maintaining an awareness of the presence of God and changing your mindset, because, you know, as a mom with younger children, if all I ever do is just, you know, worship and have my Bible study and sing songs all day long, you know, Clint's never going to have clean underwear. So it's like, you know, how do I translate that practical side of life to that equals worship too? So it's changing your mindset in letting the presence of God infiltrate every area, including the laundry room or the grocery shopping, or mm-hmm. it's having a value, realizing that everything that I do is an act of worship.
Yeah. I think that's a great word, talking about value. And when we talk about value for the presence, that's not necessarily a commonly held understanding. That's maybe a spooky word to some people when you talk about presence. But to us, presence is everything. In fact, we camp our lives around this one thing, and that's his presence. And I love this picture, even from the Old Testament, where you see the Israelites moving through the desert into the Promised Land. Everywhere they set up camp, they camped around the tabernacle. You know, you've seen those old paintings, you know, the picture of the presence, the fire by night, yeah, the Shekinah glory, the cloud by day. They camped around that presence. I think it's a great picture for us today. And you mentioned, you know, being more than songs. For sure it's more than songs, but songs do play a part in our offering. And I think it's a great tool for us to give language to what we value. Mm-hmm. That's what we're trying to do here. Certainly, you know, create a culture with certain values, the values that heaven holds dear, the values that heaven holds highly. And one of those for sure is the presence.
And there is a power that music has that is universal. It yeah. goes beyond language barriers. It goes beyond really our understanding. Mm-hmm. How do you understand music? You can break it down mathematically. You can try to figure it out. But there is something heavenly about music.
Oh,
it
yeah.
is imparted to us on loan from heaven.
In our house, we listen to worship music pretty much constantly. You know, not maybe not everybody's like that, but I am really fed by music. So not that I don't like other kinds of music, but I do try to be careful, you know, about what I'm listening to, because that feeds me spiritually. And so we kind of have an atmosphere going constantly of worship music. But also I try to stay aware of, just throughout my day, turning my heart towards the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what I'm doing, just connecting in my heart on the inside with heaven. That's really awesome.
Yeah. Well, the Bible talks about our senses being trained.
Yeah.
And that's part of it. Like, when you have a value for the presence in your life and your home, you start to train yourself to be aware of it. And the more that we are aware of it, we talk about this all the time, but the more we are aware of that presence through a laid down life of worship, the more that we're going to see supernatural things occur. Because in the presence, man, we are changed to become more like him. More and more, the more we spend in his presence, the more we are changed. We love to say that, you know, one moment in his presence can change everything. And it's so true. Open the Bible. We're reading about somebody encountering the presence of God and then responding in a way that changes the world. So super awesome to think about the possibility of hosting this in your own home,
yeah,
or in your own life with your mm-hmm. kids. I mean, we're seeing our littlest one, Levi, come to life.
Yeah.
He loves to prophesy, and it's just all of a sudden he has become aware of the presence of God in his life, and he's responding to it.
It's awesome. Maranatha, not Macarena.
Yeah, there's a difference there.
So speaking of music, since, you know, we're worship leaders and a lot of people listening are worship leaders, when we become aware of the presence, we also become aware of destiny. We become aware of our purpose and the reason that we're on the earth. And one of these things that's occurring in our life when we become aware of the presence and we get aware of the kingdom of God is that we understand that we are in a battle. And this battle is like light dispelling darkness. So that affects the songs that we sing. You know, to us, Josh, I know, like, when we pull a song list, we want to pull a song list that's going to carry the presence of God. And it's also going to demand that darkness bows.
Yeah.
And not every song does that. It's more than a song. It's more than lyric and melody. It's a life.
Right.
It's living a life that releases freedom and carries encounters and demands that every knee bow. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about lifestyle worship, that every knee would bow, that sickness would bow its knee, that depression would bow its knee, that divorce would bow its knee, that all these things that come from the kingdom of darkness would bow at the presence of us, the sons of God, the laid down lovers, the worshipers of God on the earth.
So good, man. So good. I remember my mom really stewarded an atmosphere of worship in our home. And in fact, she played Integrity Hosanna tapes pretty much 24/7
wow.
in the kitchen.
Wow, wow.
And she would get a new one every month. In fact, many of those tapes and many of those songs were written by Kent Henry.
There we go, exactly.
He's on the program with us today talking about the lifestyle of worship. So we'll be talking with him when we come back.
Core Sounds Pad Loops help worship leaders instantly and easily fill their worship sound, create seamless transitions, and kill dead space. What are pad loops, you might say? Essentially, it's like the best keyboard sound or guitar swell you've ever heard, sitting underneath your live worship team. It helps to create a beautiful, patient atmosphere for your worship team and fill out the sound. They're a great investment if you have a smaller worship team or if you have a large team but want to create an even bigger sound and improve your transitions. Plus, the full sound will give you an added confidence and free you as a leader to focus on worship. Core Sound has 8 pad sounds in all 12 keys, and they come in 3 different bundle sizes so you can find the perfect fit for your worship ministry. Load the pads up on your smartphone, tablet, or laptop, and you're good to go. Whatever you play, within the key of the pad loop sounds amazing, and each pad lasts for about 20 minutes. These pads are an incredible investment and a great tool for your worship team to transform your sound and help you to continue to lead and serve God's people well. Go to Core, C-O-R-E, coresoundpads.com to learn more, try free samples, and get going with pads today.
What would it look like if a whole city responded in unison to the Lord? What would it look like for a city to love God together? Our worship shifts atmospheres and makes it easier for prisoners to be set free. It's time to unite. Started in February 2015 by worship leaders in our area, Unite Worship Gatherings are regional worship events devoted to an extended period of vertical worship and building community. There is no agenda, no preaching. Our focus is fully on His presence. Regional worship leaders worshiping in the round. Everyone is encouraged to join in as we host the presence of God in a greater way for our region. God's heart is burning for our city. We invite you, our family, to unite the body of Christ. Unite Worship Gatherings are hosted by a different church every month, and we would love for you to be a part. We are in need of technical support and on-site prayer partners. If you have a desire to join forces with like hearts, we invite you to attend our training workshop, March 16th, hosted at Impact Life Church. We will be focusing this workshop on sound design for Unite Worship Gatherings. Find out more at uniteworshipgatherings.com.
Fear is afraid of me. Next Gen.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. Next week, we're going to be sitting down with one of my new favorite people, Kent Henry. What a wonderful blessing he was to us when he came through last month and did a regional worship workshop and nights of worship. Just imparted a lot of great stuff to us. We got to sit down with him for 2 interviews. Today, part 1, A Lifestyle of Worship with Kent Henry.
All right, Kent, thanks so much for sitting down with us.
This is awesome. We just came out of a powerful meeting, bro. We're going to preach for a half an hour. I don't think you got space for all this. No, it's been really cool this weekend here in Joplin.
Yeah. I love some of the stuff you're stirring up, and we want to get into that. But before we do, why don't we just tell people who you are and kind of what you're doing in the earth right now?
Well, it's pretty cool, bro. I started leading worship. People laugh at it, but when dinosaurs were roaming the earth in the 70s. So I've been leading worship since summer of 74. And my first church, we had winds of the Spirit and waves of worship, and a lot of people got saved and touched by the Holy Spirit. Then in the 80s, I'd been in ministry for about 10 years, 9 years, and Integrity Hosanna Music out of Mobile, Alabama, flew through St. Louis, where I'm from, and ended up saying, we need a guy to come to the studio. And that's how I did 6 albums in 9 years. So if you do the math this way, from 84 to 93, many people remember All Hail King Jesus was the first one, Glorify Thy Name in His Presence. So that 9 years, huge conferences, it was really a breakout of the Spirit. The 70s was in my local church. The 80s was national and international. And I'm 63 now. What happened in my home church just about 9 years ago is we started a prayer room. So what happened is the Lord spoke to me, and I want everybody to get this phrase and start using it. He said, Kent, you're going to teach my body this would have been when I was 29 or 30 years old, teach my body how to intermingle praise with prayer and worship with intercession. I'm going to say it again, make sure it locks up in people's hearts and minds. Teach my body, the body of Christ, Jesus said to me personally, and I've been doing it ever since the last 33 years, teach my body how to intermingle and join praise with prayer and worship with intercession. They should have never been separated, Clint.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. For some reason, the church picked what they wanted, and that'll grow my church, or that'll help preserve our tithe base. We're not here just to grow churches and protect tithe base. We're here to do kingdom work for Jesus.
Yeah, that's right. So let's talk a little bit more about that, because our heart, we share a real similar heart. So a little surprising, man. Because yeah. We haven't really connected before.
Oh, yeah.
But not surprising, because we're seeing groups and people all over the United States emerge
right.
with the same heart, same message, same mm-hmm. desire, same assignment, really, mm-hmm. from the Lord. Let's talk about what is necessary to see the presence of God overtake our cities and regions. And we talk about intercessors, worship leaders, worship. That's going to mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. But take us on a journey. Tell us your heart in these things.
Well, I think it starts with people devoted to Jesus. Devotional hearts and worshiping hearts win the day. For instance, in our prayer room, we do 90-minute prayer room sets. That's 20 minutes of deep worship, 20-minute prayer room cycle. Then we do back to 20 minutes of worship and then more prayer. Well, if you look at it, I've got kids as they're teenagers, and we have teen bands, homeschoolers in our church, in our prayer room. They end up doing 90 minutes in one day of worship and prayer. That's more just time equivalent than most worship leaders and worship teams are doing all week long. They might do 30 minutes on Wednesday night and 30 minutes on Sunday, if they even do that. And so we've got a lot of people, what I call, out in the outer courts, that need to come closer to Jesus and become more devoted in their individual personal life. Check it out. I don't care what you do at your church on Sunday morning, Wednesday night, or an event. See, you can turn anything into an event. Where is the lifestyle? I just got finished sharing. The top teaching that continued to be requested was learning to live the lifestyle of praise and worship. Have we learned to do this on Monday morning, Monday afternoon, Tuesday morning? You know, do we worship before we go to bed at night? In other words, it's a lifestyle. Lifestyle believers are so much more powerful because they're maintaining an anointing of the Holy Spirit
right.
that's leading them every day.
Yeah.
Huge. And if people just get after a greater, well, and here's the scripture, 2 Corinthians 11:3. I'm floored by the scripture still today. Paul writing to the Corinthian people, let's register who they are. They're the power people. They're walking revelation, gifts, and healing. He said, I have a fear for you, F-E-A-R. In the Greek, it's the same way. I have a fear that as the serpent deceived Eve in the garden, yep. stay with me, everybody, you would leave your pure and simple devotion to Christ. So if you go back to the Amish or Mennonites, and they kind of dropped out of time, but people that say, I'm going to live a life that's centered, Jesus-centric, and actually worship and pray every day, they're going to do powerful stuff for the Lord.
So let's dive a little deeper, and I want to see the thing that's burning in your heart
okay.
about transferring this encounter to the next generation. You talk mm-hmm. about that a lot. You've talked about it this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that so important? Where are we missing it? What can we do to steward the presence of God for the next generation like that?
Well, my calling is to 30 and unders, even though I'm in my 60s now. My wife says, Kent, you know, I've had 3 children and you're the biggest kid I have, but that's because I relate to them. I just got finished taking pictures of all the kids and all that.
Right.
Because they know the anointing. They don't have baggage. And so in our prayer room, an example is I've raised up at least 4, if not 5 teen bands that they continue on their 20s today. Make a place for them to worship Jesus in their generation.
Yeah.
I find that most churches, well, if you're under 20, 22, we don't know if you can be responsible. We don't trust you. The problem is by the time they get older, 25, you know, 26, they've got babies and children, you know, the car payment, all that. So make a place for encountering the Lord with what I call the tentacles of human flesh all over it. It seems like people want to sit in a back room and set up, well, the seeker sensitive movement through the last 30 years, which is now declining. Bill Hybels, he put online 6 years ago an apology to the body of Christ worldwide. We got millions of people to come to to seeker-sensitive churches, to video screens, and planned services, but we didn't make disciples and send them to the nations. So we've got to have places for kids to actually know the presence of God. They're not going to be perfect. They're going to make mistakes. I was just telling the story, the first band I had, my youngest daughter was in, they were horrible. It sounded really bad for 2 to 3 months until they said, we don't like this, we're going to get better. And so make a place for kids to start flowing in the anointing on their instrument, even if it's not that good. They can do current songs, Jesus Culture, IHOP, Bethel, I mean, whatever you can, they can know, let them start learning it and do that in live performance at a high level.
Yeah, that's awesome. So the first night you were with us, we launched into 15 or 20 minutes where we didn't even do a single song. And I think that was my favorite part.
Right.
Talk about the difference between that and kind of what we see as typical church worship where it's really structured.
Right. Well, there's a difference between, huge difference, every pastor will acknowledge it, between a Friday night of worship, which we just did last night. There's really not the same expectation as a Sunday morning. Sunday mornings, the groups usually mushroom out. They're a little bit bigger. You could have 100 on a Friday night, 200. You'll be doubling that. So you got 300 to 400 people walking in on a Sunday morning that may have not prayed or done worship. You got to have a little more structure to it. But last night, all bets are off. We were in the key of C and just took off and hammered down. And it's called the spontaneous songs of the Lord. I also call them love songs to Jesus. When people can be loose to sing their heart. Now you got to get them going a little bit. Explain what you're doing. Your band and the singers were so powerful. We were at ground zero immediately. We were like boom in the heavenlies almost immediately. And then we're, you know, singing for a while, certain themes, whatever the Holy Spirit's leading us in. This is the most powerful aspect of heaven on earth to me, that music, it doesn't have the element of we're controlling it. The Holy Spirit is actually leading it. I did that scripture today. Jesus said, I'm leaving. And the disciples again freaked out, went, Jesus, we thought you were going to establish your kingdom. He goes, no, it's to your advantage that I go away. Hear it again. It's to your advantage. Jesus, we don't want you to leave. He said, no, I'm going to prepare a place for you. You can come be with me later, but I'm sending back the Holy Spirit. The word is parakletos in the Greek. I'm sending back the one who will lead you and guide you into all the truth every day. Clint, people got to do this every day. My new phrase for 17 is I'm spirit filled every day and all day long, not just because there was a need somewhere or because I had to get up. A lot of worship teams, by the way, I'm going to call them out right now on this. You guys got to live a more devotional life, because just because we stick a mic in front of you and you do it for 30 minutes doesn't mean you're devoted to Jesus. Here we go.
Yeah.
I love you, but not that much. I got to call you out on it. But we have to go higher, deeper, and wider in the presence. It's that last night was totally spirit generated, spirit led. That's where the freedom comes and people will be set free in that presence.
Yeah, I remember you making a comment about, you know, someone's great voice or their talent is not greater than the anointing.
Yeah, let's sit on it for a minute. The scriptures that go with this, Isaiah 10:27, it's when Israel was in the yoke of the king of Assyria and the Assyrians, and the Lord said, it's by my anointing that I break every yoke. It's by my supernatural provision. It actually says by reason of fatness, their necks began to grow, that it broke the plow off of the king of Assyria, the captivity they're in, meaning the anointing will break any yoke the devil tries to put on human beings. Let's pair that to 1 John 2:20. You people listening to this podcast right now, if you can go get in a mirror, I want you to say it in the mirror. Look at yourself and go, you have received an anointing from the Holy One, and this anointing will break every yoke. So 1 John 2, verses 20 and 27 changed my life in my early 20s. I thought everybody else was anointed but me, bro. I was already up leading worship. People were saying, Kent, you know, it's changing my life. You're so anointed. But I didn't believe it until I found the word, and the Lord said, no, I've given you an anointing, a holy oil, so to speak, to sing and play, and bondages will be broken off of people. That's another thing. When you get closer to Jesus, it's almost automatically it increases because you're spending time with the Lord. That's good right there.
That's so good.
Yeah.
That's so good. We're actually going to have you back next week to talk some more about this. But before we go, I want you to kind of throw out some social media links, website, help us connect people with with you?
Well, kenhenry.com, we're getting ready to change it all. Matter of fact, we've had kind of a miracle. It's cool. A good friend of ours has now procured, it's right at $45,000 in 4K television cameras and stuff.
Oh, nice.
But email, because I've had people say, how can we get you to come to our city? Well, I'll tell you how to do that. But kenhenry77@gmail.com is a way that they can, you know, kind of hook up if they have an event request. But beyond that, I have a fan page that has 11,000 people. These people that are social media specialists set it up 3 years ago, and they said, Kent, we have never, because people are trying to reconnect with you as a veteran worshiper and believer. So we've got kenhenry.com. You can go there, and there's bios and all the information. kenhenry77@gmail.com for people interested in coming out to their area, region, whatever. And then the Facebook page, we have stuff on there every day for folks.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks, Kent.
Okay, we love it. God bless you guys.
So good to have Kent Henry on the program. We'll be visiting again with him next week about mobilizing for a global great awakening, a show you definitely do not want to miss. We'll be here to talk about what's on the Father's heart for our generation and the generations to come. We'll see you then.
You've been listening to Next Gen Worship Broadcast.